This is Rob Randall, and we're so grateful that you've tuned in today. Thank you for giving us your time and your ear for just a short while. We pray that this teaching and this time around the things of heaven will be of great help, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God will be able to use this to minister to your need this day. And now let's get right to the message for today in the Invisible War.
Father, we thank you for the sweet privilege that is ours to open your word and to hear from you. We want to hear what the Spirit says to the church. We want to know the truth. We don't want to be deceived anymore. Lord, we're tired of being deceived. We're tired of knowing half the truth. We're tired of being so fearful that we cannot live and walk by faith. We want to live in the victory that is ours in the Lord Jesus. And so I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come, and I pray that you would speak to our hearts clearly. Whatever hindrance, whatever blocking spirit may be on assignment, I bring you to attention. You have no more right. You cannot get reinforcements. You cannot separate. You cannot divide. You must stand and face the judgment of Almighty God. The only manifestation that will be in this room at this time will be the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we welcome you. The Lord Jesus, we welcome you to have your will in your church. Lord, this subject matter is far greater than we are able to comprehend. And yet you have thrust us into a supernatural war, a war of life and death. So we declare our dependence upon you, our need of you. Lord, if you do not teach us the truth, we won't know the truth. If you do not do your work among us, none of your will, none of it will be done. So we thank you for this time. And we thank you for the precious presence of the Lord Jesus at this moment. Come and do what only you can do. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. We begin as we study the matter of witchcraft and divination. The Bible makes it very, very plain. God doesn't like it. He's opposed to it. He's opposed to those who are involved in witchcraft. The Bible tells us in Nahum 3, 4 through 6, all because of the many harlotries of the harlot, the charming one, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations by her harlotries and famines by her sorceries. Behold, I am against you, declares the Lord of hosts. I will lift up your skirts over your face and show to the nations your nakedness and to the kingdoms your disgrace. I will throw filth on you and make you vile and set you up as a gazing stock. Exodus 22, 16 through 19, we find these words. If a man seduces a virgin who is not engaged and lies with her, he must pay a dowry for her to be his wife. If a father absolutely refuses to give her to him, he shall pay money equal to the dowry of virgins. For you shall not allow a witch, a sorceress, to live. Deuteronomy 18, we find these warnings all the way through Scripture. Deuteronomy 18, 10 through 15. There shall be not found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. Leviticus 19, 31. Do not turn to the mediums or spiritists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord thy God. Isaiah 8, 19. And when they say to you, consult the mediums and the spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people consult their God? Should they consult the dead on behalf of the living? And Revelation 21, 8 is the roll call of hell. You want to know who's going to be in hell? The list is in Revelation 21, verse 8. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the witches. The clear indication, the Bible makes it very plain, that there is a severe judgment of God upon those who involve themselves, who get involved in the practice of witchcraft. Let me simply say to you, have nothing to do with it. Leave it alone. As I have traveled across America, as you know, our country is beginning to be full of witches. Our young people now are casting spells. I was in First Baptist Church of Gallup, New Mexico, and I mentioned this subject matter, and a lady came up to me that evening, and she was trembling. And she says, "Brother Rob, I heard you were coming tonight. I've been in the church several times during the years in revival meetings. I knew you were bringing your book, and I didn't want to come. But I'm here." And she was trembling with fear. She was a counselor in the middle school, in the public school in Gallup, New Mexico. And there were groups of young people casting spells last spring during class. And she had to call them down and obviously didn't want to have to deal with it. Didn't really understand how to deal with it on a spiritual basis. All she could say is, "If you do that again, you're out of here." Well, we're seeing that more and more and more and more. My son was a youth minister here in town. He was aware of casting spells during Sunday school. The kids were casting spells against each other as the Bible study was taking place. And Bobby immediately recognized it and said, "I know what you're doing, and you better not do it again." That's the world your kids and my kids are being reared in. And now the Harry Potter generation is right behind them. You haven't seen anything yet. But the Bible warns any and all activity. It simply says, have nothing to do with this matter. If you want a curse upon you and your family for 120 years, then you get involved in witchcraft. It will not only be that which you will have to bear, but your children will have to bear it. And your grandchildren will have to bear it, and your great-grandchildren will have to bear it, as we shall study. Let me simply say to you, if you have ever been involved in witchcraft, get rid of that stuff. Repent of your sin. Turn from that abomination. God's word is clear. He hates it. He will not tolerate it. It is dangerous. And it will cause a curse upon you and your family. I want to say another word about witchcraft, and I want you to listen to me carefully. Every time we have church, witches are among us. I want to say that again. There are young people involved in witchcraft that are members of our youth group. There are moms and dads who sought a witch years ago in their lives and opened the door in their hearts to all kinds of darkness. They don't know why they're in bondage, but they're in bondage. And they think by going to church, that's going to fix it. So they are faithful members of this or any other church, but they carry into the sanctuary the demons that they invoked many, many years ago that they've never been cleaned up from. What I'm saying to you is, this is a serious, serious matter. Is it any wonder our churches are shut down? Spiritually speaking, is it any wonder we see fewer and fewer people saved coming to Christ? Is it any wonder that it's harder and harder to get people to go out witnessing, knocking doors? Could it be connected to the fact that our people are carrying around this stuff that they got involved in back in the 60s, back in the 70s, back in the 80s, and although they've come to Christ, they've never asked God to cleanse them from these abominations. It is a serious matter. Have nothing to do with witchcraft. Now, there's a little book entitled The Devil's Alphabet. And it is a list of divination, a list of dark practices. All right? Don't have time to get into all of them. Tarot cards, leave it alone. Crystal balls, tea leaves, palm readings, psychic hotlines, fortune tellers, charming, clairvoyance, fetishes, firewalking, omens, spiritism, superstition, telepathy, seeking tongues, transference, yoga and transcendental meditation, astral projection, divining, channeling, have nothing to do with it. There is a curse that will follow. As certain as you put your hand on a hot stove, you will get burned. If you involve yourself in witchcraft, there will be a heavy price levied upon your soul. Have nothing to do with it. And the good news is, you can be cleansed. Amen. The good news is, when Jesus died on Calvary, in the garden, He saw that cup, and He saw all this junk, all this darkness, all this unbelief, all this abomination, all this rebellion and disobedience. He saw it all, and He was still willing to take it for us. And if we repent of our sins, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I want us to look at another subject matter that's very, very serious, and there's much confusion in this area that I hope to clear up as we study this, and that is the sins of the fathers are generational curses. Lamentations 5:7, it is we who bear their punishment, our fathers sinned and are no more. Turn with me to Exodus 25. I want you to see it, because I don't want you to just take my word for it. And by the way, I want to say this openly, and I want you to hear this. I don't like this truth. But folks, it's not about liking it. It's about submitting to it. Truth never changes. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. You will be judged, my children will be judged by the same word of God that I'll be judged by. It's not going to change. There are no exceptions. God's word is forever settled in heaven. When God's word speaks concerning a matter, we would do well to listen carefully. In Exodus 20, verse 5, you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. We also find a passage in Numbers 14, 18. The Lord is slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, forgiving iniquity and transgression. We can all stop there and go, amen. But He will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Jeremiah 32:18. Who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. Lamentations 5:7, our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. I had a fellow get mad at me about this. He looked at my book very quickly, and he saw that that subject matter was dealt with in the book. And he's a pastor in the state, part of a conservative group here. And he was very unhappy. In fact, I had not met him before, but he came to me red-faced, angry. He says, that's the Old Testament. That is not a New Testament teaching. That's the Old Testament. And I was trying to be kind, but he was not trying to be kind. And I said, what's your point? You see, God's law is settled forever in heaven. The New Testament, folks, does not erase the Old Testament. It fulfilled it. The Old Testament truth is as true today as it has ever been or will ever be. God's word is forever settled in heaven. God says, I will visit the sins of the fathers. You say, well, that's just to the Jews. Well, what's the church? We have been grafted on to the tree of promise. Romans 10 tells us that. Not to the exclusion of the Jews, but to the inclusion of the church. That's a whole other study. We won't get into that. A lot of folks are confused about that. But I want you to know it's not just Old Testament. We find the teaching in the New Testament. They brought a young fella to Jesus who was born blind, and they knew this teaching. And they said, is it his sin or the sins of his parents that he was born blind? And Jesus did not rebuke the teaching. He just said, in this case, it doesn't apply. That's not why this fella was born blind. It had no relationship to sin. But that doesn't mean that the truth does still not exist. In fact, Romans 15:4 tells us that the things that were written aforetime, the Old Testament, were written for our learning, for our instruction. Now, at first glance, again, let me encourage you, the biblical basis of the generational curse is Romans 5:12. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. Now, where did my sin come from? It came from my first parents, Adam and Eve. I was born into sin. David cried out, and sin my mother did conceive me. So here is the basis of the generational curse. Here is the biblical foundation of this whole matter. We are born into sin. You don't have to teach that child to be selfish. You don't have to teach that child to be self-centered. He already knows that. You don't have to teach a child how to lie. That child learns before it ever says mama or dada. It learns very well that if it will act like something's wrong, even when there's nothing wrong, you and I can be fooled and we'll pick the little outfit up. Now, where did that fella learn that? He came knowing it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We are born into sin. Why? Because of our first parents. That is the biblical basis of the generational curse. Now, it must be said that with a casual handling of the matter of generational curses, one comes to be confused at best. It is necessary to carefully study the Word of God concerning these eternal matters. Now, there's much we can say. Let me simply say that since sin is ultimately against God, the consequences of sin are eternal. Sin is a spiritual problem, therefore a spiritual answer is necessary. David says in Psalm 51, my sin is ever before me, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. Since sin is committed against the Lord, He's the only one who can absolve and forgive our sin. He has chosen to do that through the sacrifice of His Son. There is one sacrifice for all sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It is through Christ and Christ alone that sin is dealt with and cleansed. You can't ignore it and it go away. You can't even die and it go away. The truth of the matter is, even if you try to hide it, the Bible tells us in Psalm 90, there are no secret sins. There are no secret sins. Not in heaven. None. He limits the curses to four generations, except for unkindness shown to Israel, and also to the illegitimate birth of children, where it is indicated that the curse goes to 10 generations. That's in Deuteronomy 22, 2 and 3. That's 300 years, folks. Now, God is merciful. Can I get an amen on that? We wouldn't be sitting here if He was not merciful. He loves us with an undying love. I don't understand it, but I sure am grateful for it. I sure love Him back for it. I thank Him for it. That His mercies are brand new every day. And He gives your family 120 years to confess their sins of unrighteousness. That's a gracious God. He gives a whole generation. What's a generation? 32 years, 30, 32 years, or some dispute. Let me just simply say, think of it in terms of, for this study, 30 years. He gives us 120 years for us to turn from our abomination, our wickedness, and come back to Him. And then if I don't do it, He gives my children a chance to repent. If they don't repent, He gives my grandchildren a chance to repent of these matters. And then the great-grandchildren. And then, listen to me, the enemy gets more powerful in the family each generation that says no to the Lord. It becomes a snowball spiritually, okay? Until finally, the last generation will be in such darkness, will be in such sorrow. Many of them will be barren. They will not have children. You will see this over and over again. But God is merciful. He gives 120 years... until finally the judgment falls. Now, does that mean the children are guilty of the sins of their fathers? No. No, it's what the psychiatrists call, or the medical community, genetic predispositions. There are weaknesses that are passed down from generation to generation. Let me put it this way. Demons travel, the highway that demons travel is the highway of sin and disobedience. I want to say that again. Sin is the highway demons travel. And so when they find in a family an area of disobedience, they begin to go to work. And they'll work, and they'll work, and they'll work, and the Lord's always calling everyone to repentance. And if they do not repent, if they die in that sin without repentance, without getting right with God, demons, the devil is a legalist. You've heard me say that in this study. I'll say it again many times. He's a lawyer. If he's been given the right somehow in the lineage into the family, that right that he's been given, that ground, if you please, has to be discovered and has to be cleansed before these curses are gone. Well, let me simply say again, Satan does not cause us to sin. I want to say that again. Man is free to choose righteousness or unrighteousness. But our sin separates us from holy God. All Satan does is scheme ways to encourage our disobedience to God, which joins us to his rebellion against God. What is rebellion? It is witchcraft. 1 Samuel 15:23. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Then he is able to exploit these family sins, if you please, against God to the vilest, vile, evil attention. Okay? Now, all sin carries spiritual consequences. The wages of sin is death. And all of these serious spiritual consequences can ultimately lead to spiritual bondage. Now that you have been saved, the right to be free is your birthright in the Lord Jesus. Folks, many of us can make a long, painful list of those who are saved who have ended in bondage. I want you to see this carefully because there's a lot of confusion here. If you and I do not walk in the freedom that the Lord Jesus has given us through repentance and the confession of our sin before God, spiritual defeat is certain and the generational curses continue. Folks, to ignore these matters is to allow the enemy an advantage in the invisible war. These areas must be cleaned up, and praise God, they can be.
Thank you, Rob, and we'll look forward to hearing more next time as we continue in this series on The Invisible War. The Invisible War is more than just a weekly radio program. It is a lifetime commitment to helping you become a man or woman who experiences a life of freedom and fulfillment. This only happens as you completely turn your life over to God through Jesus Christ and trust in Him to completely work in your life. There has obviously been a lot of ground that was covered today, and you may not have been able to catch everything, or you just want to hear it again. Well, we have many different options for you so you can get these valuable resources. Go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll be able to find all the books on this topic. Hear today's broadcast again. Sign up to receive weekly podcasts. Find out about upcoming crusades in your area with Rob Randall. Even schedule a crusade with Rob, a place to share your prayer request, and a ton more. So go to theinvisiblewar.org, and from there you'll find everything you need to help you on this journey. We also have a toll-free number where you can call us so we can talk to you, pray for you, and encourage you. The number is 1-877-808-8886. That's 1-877-808-8886. And now, here's Rob with some closing words for us today.
Let's join together as we ask the Lord to do His mighty work among us. Lord, we thank You today for the sweet privilege that is ours to trust You. You have been faithful to all generations, and we today have found You faithful. Lord, let us be reminded, help us know that when You died on Calvary, that no one else needs to shed their blood for sin. Your blood is enough for all sin, for all time. And so, Lord, I just simply ask You today, in the mighty, precious, magnificent name of the Lord Jesus, draw us to Thee. That which You purpose in Your heart in heaven for my brother and my sister today, may it be so. And I pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let us know how we can help you. Please go to the website, theinvisiblewar.org. Also, call us. We have a toll-free number, 1-877-808-8886. May God richly bless you in the journey, and thank you for tuning in today and listening to The Invisible War.